We are now living in a time when foreign gangs can cross over our border and seize people's property at gunpoint with no fear of the law.
This video has been making the rounds online since yesterday. Shows armed men walking through a building, knocking on doors, and entering an apartment. These men are part of a dangerous Venezuelan gang, and their numbers have been growing steadily because of the crisis at the border.
There have been rumblings of new gang activity in Aurora all summer. Officials have skated around the topic, but now there's video and victims they can't deny.
It's really like being held hostage.
Cindy was a prisoner in her own home. She's lived in this building at 12th and Dallas for years. This summer, when crime got worse, Cindy got cameras. Doorbell video shows a group of armed men forcing their way into her neighbor's home. Another night, her camera outside captured two men approaching a vehicle, guns drawn.
What I am told is that police leadership put it out that no less than like three or four officers could respond to one of these complexes. I now have other property owners, other apartment complexes calling and telling me the same kinds of things.
Food is the biggest commodity over there.
Cindy says she survived the ordeal by staying quiet, giving them food and bed bug spray. Every night, praying she'd hear sirens.
They left us there to die.
In her new home, far away, the peace she feels is fleeting. Because for so many others, she says there is no escape, no solution, and no sign that help will ever come.
The people working to defund the police are the same people bringing in millions of foreigners without any expectation to assimilate. These foreigners are being given money, education, and homes, while tax-paying American citizens are being kicked out of their homes and losing their jobs. Property taxes generate approximately 75% of a city's funding. And as the job market, home sales, commercial real estate, and the entire U.S. economy continues to plummet, the average American citizen will no longer be able to pay the city's taxes, and city governments will become desperate. Right on cue, the federal government announces it will be giving out hundreds of millions of dollars to cities willing to take more migrants. This isn't new. The Department of Homeland Security, who is supposedly tasked with securing the homeland, has already given out $1 billion to city governments in return for taking more migrants. And there will be billions more given out. This incentivized plan of self-destruction is scheduled to last another 2 years. The Venezuelan gang violence in Aurora, Colorado, is already spilling out to the surrounding suburbs. And Aurora is just one of many. There are hundreds of sanctuary cities, counties, and states, all of which are losing money. And the funds being given out by Homeland Security will not cut it. They will only increase the amount of mouths to feed. As it turns out, the cost of feeding and housing tens of millions of people is unsustainable. And as the money starts to run out, things will get much more dangerous. John Williams predicts we will be seeing more demand for gated communities and private security companies.
A lot of these new residents are coming from a harder world. They're coming from the El Salvadors of the world, the Venezuelas of the world. You know, these countries where they know a lot of hardship, and they've come here for a better life, and they're going to do what they have to do to achieve that better life. And as we walk into the winter, it's going to be real cold in San Francisco, in Denver, New York City, and if they don't have shelter, they're going to take it, most likely. I mean, if the food cuts off, if the shelter, becomes harder to come by, if all of these, perks and things they were promised go away, it's going to be a free-for-all.
Last year, 139 mayors officially told Congress they need more money to provide food, housing, and other services to their growing migrant community. They wrote that both city government agencies and local nonprofits are overwhelmed and cannot provide the most basic assistance.
Where do you see all of this going? Do you think that this video right here is the end? Or do you think that this situation is very well the beginning? It's only 3 months until winter. These cities, they're going to get really cold.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWarsMD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance. Or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula, meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep, and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor, or just take our word for it, and check out the InfoWarsMD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. It's Tuesday, September 10th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday morning from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. I was out yesterday. Woke up not feeling too good. So thank you for the crew for scrambling and putting together an all-star show. Three of our best interviews in the recent past all just happened to be women. It just turned out that way. Someone on X was saying you should title that episode Wonder Women. There's a lot of great women doing some very powerful work. And it's funny because I mentioned to my sister yesterday evening, said, yeah, you know, didn't make it in today. I was sick. We had to do a rebroadcast. She was like, really? Because Dad said he watched and you had a really good show. I'm like, well, okay. He didn't notice my costume changes between each hour, I guess. But yeah, thank you for the crew to scramble. I will say, unless I'm mistaken, I think that may have been the first time in the entire history of American Journal that I called out sick in the morning. I've been sick other times, obviously, and have usually maybe the night before, I can give a warning to the crew. I think that may have been the first time ever that I woke up feeling terrible and didn't make it in, which I'm bragging, which is an unbelievable situation if you'd seen my high school attendance record. We have a lot to discuss today. My goodness, we have a lot to discuss. And of course, the main topic on everybody's mind is Haitians eating cats and ducks from the park. And this, I'm happy to say, we were on the very forefront of. Last week, we were covering this exact situation and giving you some context and reporting on some of the Facebook posts and others. Captive Dreamer 2 on X deserves a lot of credit for pushing this out into the mainstream, taking some of the statements made on local Facebook posts, Facebook pages for Springfield, Ohio, and publishing them on X and getting them out to the wider consciousness. And it's amazing how things like this happen, how there can be some situation where everybody locally knows it's going on. It's a huge deal. It's a symptom of a wider nationwide syndrome that's going on. But it remains in that local field. It remains in the local sphere. It never breaks out until somebody notices it. Somebody who, with a national voice or, you know, prominent on X, especially on the right wing, notices it and publishes something about it. And then it's like all the news that's been going on but hasn't been widespread comes roaring out like a flood. And so now we just have this, you know, flood of information. And two things happen in this case. For one, everybody jumps on board on the right wing and starts talking about this because it's sort of the first time they've noticed and it's a flood of information. And then, of course, the responding attempt by the left to debunk everything as quickly as possible. And they act like this flood of information is evidence that it's manufactured or, you know, not as big of a deal, right? It's a right-wing conspiracy. And wow, suddenly everybody's, you know, making these claims. It's like, well, we didn't know it was happening because the national media wasn't reporting on it, because the local media reports on it weren't actually saying what was going on. So none of us really knew, but there was a ton of information being generated And it wasn't until the awareness of this situation broke through the you know, Overton window, broke into the mainstream conversation, that suddenly all of this information that's already been there comes roaring into view for everybody to see. And so, of course, the left uses this as evidence that somehow this isn't really happening, that it's all manufactured because it's just all spilling out at once. And, you know, some of it's not exactly right. You'll see a photo of some dude walking down the street with a goose in his hands, you know, just been insane. And it's like, well, that wasn't actually in Springfield. That was in the town next to Springfield. And it's like, okay, you can debunk all of these things piece by, you know, hyper focusing on some detail that may not be exactly correct. But we get what's going on. The entire situation is not fake or wrong or even, you know, mislabeled or misinterpreted. It's all happening. It's all very real. And we're going to break down some information that you probably aren't going to get anywhere else, including why this is happening to Ohio in particular, why this is like how much this has been happening in the past. This is not a new thing. This is not something that just happened last week. It wasn't last Monday they brought in a bunch of Haitians and on Friday they were eating pets. This has been going on for years. And one situation that we talk about all the time on this show as evidence of the willful collapse of our country through the immigration system is, of course, the El Paso or Eagle Pass, rather, conundrum, the situation, the bizarre series of events that occurred where you had tens of thousands of Haitian migrants camped out under the bridge for weeks. You know, nobody could do anything about it. Everybody was, you know, just confused and lost. And the Haitians, meanwhile, were like being interviewed as they would cross over the Rio Grande and buy food and then cross back over to eat it. And they were just like, this is terrible. We're suffering so bad. And it all just went on. And this camp just remained until a Border Patrol agent rode a horse near the migrants and used his reins. That was published as being them whipping the migrants. And then Kamala Harris and the Biden administration made a big deal out of this, saying, oh, it's like slavery days. Oh, dear. It's like we're back in the 1800s with the slavery and the slave masters on horses. And then when it was revealed, no, this is a guy using his reins to stop the influx of migrants storming across the border, it became very embarrassing, and the whole situation just disappeared in 24 hours. For weeks, so it was camps and, you know, what are we going to do? And, oh, my God, it's hundreds of thousands of people. This is an impossible task. And then the Biden administration was embarrassed a little bit, and it was cleaned up within 24 hours. Everybody was gone. The entire camp was disassembled and removed. And all of the people there disappeared. They were just gone. Well, where do you think they went? Where do you think they went? They went into your neighborhood. They got housing down the street from your house. Yeah, so we'll spend a lot of time on that. We have more videos than we could ever possibly go to on that topic alone. And it's very good to see. And it's also good to see how unnecessary the mainstream media is at this point. I mean, as soon as this situation rose to the level of national awareness, it's like, you know, all of the independent reporters have been deployed and are now on the ground in Ohio getting the story verbatim from the people there and publishing it without any interference from some mainstream network telling them what is and is not of public importance. So we'll get very much into that. Of course, tonight is the debate. The debate. I'd say the first debate, but I don't know if there's going to be a second. It's just the debate between Trump and Harris. So this is it. The last few hours of Kamala Harris as a viable presidential candidate. Enjoy it, Kamala. Because just like Joe Biden, the reality is about to be revealed and everybody is going to see what the real options are. Donald Trump, intelligent statesman versus Democrat puppet, wallowing in failure and incompetence. So we'll get into that too, what we can expect later. I will be in the studio starting at 7 p.m. tonight hosting along with Chase Geyser and perhaps some others. I'm not sure who has confirmed yet. But we'll be there taking your calls and commentating on the debate and watching it live in real time on Infowars.com/show and band.video and streaming on X as well. So tune in for that. Join us as we commentate along and watch in real time as Kamala Harris's presidential dreams go up in smoke. That's my prediction anyway. So we'll talk about that and a lot more. So many videos to get to today. I'll take your calls as well, but we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 10th of September, 2024. Trump-Harris to debate on ABC. And this has been a long road to get here. A very long road. Obviously, we should have had several debates against what should have been the winner of the Democratic primary, Joe Biden. But apparently they just, you know, want to pull the rug out from under everybody, shove Kamala in. It's been something like 51, 52 days since she became the actual nominee of the Democratic Party. And in that time, she has given exactly one pre-taped, tag team interview with a very friendly media outlet at CNN. And that's basically it. She's had no press conferences. She hasn't talked to the press whatsoever. Maybe once or twice she's, you know, said something to a camera while in some staged campaign stop at a Sheetz gas station. But other than that, no questions, no being held to the, her feet held to the fire, no interrogation from any even remotely unfriendly media. And this free ride she's been given, this smooth sailing of not being questioned, not having to even come out with a policy sheet, that ends tonight. So that's going to be very exciting to watch. It's going to be very exciting to watch. Rewatch almost. It'll be a replay of what we saw under Joe Biden, where for weeks and weeks we were telling you just how incompetent and senile he was, only to be gaslit by his administration, and for all of that to come crumbling down the instant he had to speak extemporaneously for an extended period of time. I expect exactly the same thing to happen with old Kamala today, and I'm very excited to watch that. So just bring your sunglasses. It's going to be a Hindenburg-like spectacular failure, I think. I mean, that's my guess. That's what I think is going to happen. And by the way, they think that's going to happen too. They're working feverishly to prepare Kamala Harris, which, yeah, good luck. Good luck is all I have to say about that. Meanwhile, great replacement job shock. This from Zero Hedge over the weekend. 1.3 million native-born Americans lost their jobs, replaced by 35,000 immigrants. At the start of the year, many months after we first pointed out the biggest untold story of the U.S. labor market was the great replacement of native-born workers with foreign-born workers, most of whom we subsequently learned were undocumented immigrants, i.e. illegal aliens. We asked how it is that the ongoing replacement, because that's what it is, of U.S. workers is not the biggest political talking point right now, considering that since October 2019, native-born U.S. workers have lost 1.4 million jobs. Over that same time period, foreign-born workers have gained 3 million jobs. Well, 8 months later, we're delighted to see that our relentless efforts to bring attention to this critical topic finally worked, and the continued replacement of native-born workers with immigrants and illegal aliens is finally the biggest political and media talking point, as demonstrated by such articles as How Immigration Remade the U.S. Labor Force by the Wall Street Journal and Without Immigrants, U.S. Working Age Population Would Shrink from Bloomberg, both of which are an extension of the latest and greatest narrative spawned by Fed Chair Powell and then picked up by Goldman, which came down to the following. You can have record illegal immigration, or you can have even more breakneck inflation. So don't be angry. Just accept the roving gangs of Venezuelan murderers in your neighborhood. If you know what's good for you and if you want to keep prices low, the same prices which are only high because the government decided to inject $20 trillion in fiscal stymies in the last 4 years. So again, we'll get back into this. But just a quick reminder that it's not just your missing cat that is to blame for the immigration crisis is to blame. It's also your missing job and your lower pay and the unaffordable groceries. It's all compounded and exacerbated by the inflow and massive billion-dollar payments to the foreign occupiers in our country. And it's all on purpose and by design, and that's the point of them coming here in the first place. Meanwhile, Israel-Gaza war. Israeli military claims Turkish-American activist killed in West Bank was likely unintentionally shot. It's hard to say, though. Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. When you're just closing your eyes and firing blindly at anything that moves, I guess you can call that an accident, I suppose. Activist killed in the West Bank was likely unintentionally shot, says Israeli military. Sure. The Israeli military said that an American activist killed in the West Bank was likely unintentionally shot. Following an inquiry, an American-Turkish dual national, Aysenor Ezgi Aygi, was shot dead, reportedly by Israeli troops, while participating in a protest against settler expansion in the occupied West Bank on Friday. The 26-year-old was a volunteer peace activist with the Anti-Occupation International Solidarity Movement, ISM. And we'll get back into this a little bit later as well, because it is an American dual citizen killed by the Israeli military. And some of the responses to this by American politicians are truly sickening and treasonous, where they're basically, I mean, not basically, they are literally celebrating and, you know, justifying this and basically saying, well, she was a terrorist, so she deserved to die. So just so you're aware of where our politicians land on the matter, we'll get back into that a little bit later. Meanwhile, the other World War III front, Ukraine strikes Moscow in biggest drone attack to date. Ukraine attacked Russia with 144 drones. At least 20 drones were downed around Moscow. Multi-story residential buildings near Moscow were on fire. Flights were suspended at Moscow's key airports. And Russia then attacked Ukraine with 46 drones. Ukraine struck the Moscow region on Tuesday in its biggest drone attack so far on the Russian capital, killing at least one woman, wrecking dozens of homes, and forcing around 50 flights to be diverted from airports around Moscow. Russia, the world's biggest nuclear power, said it had destroyed at least 20 Ukrainian attack drones as they swarmed over the Moscow region, which has a population of more than 21 million, and 124 more drones shot down over eight other regions. Again, we'll get into this a little bit later, but the poking of the bear continues unabated. The playing chicken with the nuclear-armed superpower continues unabated as the destruction of the United States and our historical resistance to tyranny will be eliminated one way or another, either by flooding us with Haitians and Venezuelans or eliminating us and disintegrating us in a nuclear flash. We'll get back to that in just a little bit. Finally, we have this. Panicked Democrats rush to discredit reports of Haitian illegals eating pets in Springfield as xenophobic and racist. Xenophobic and racist. Sort of makes you, sort of brings to mind, if you will, the great speeches from Martin Luther King. Where he said, I have a dream of a world. My grandchildren are not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. It's like, well, we're judging them by the content of their character, and they are eating ducks. They're eating the ducks at the park, and they stole my daughter's cat and is frying it on the driveway. So, yeah, it turns out the content of the character might not be the best metric if, continual support is what you're after. The left is collectively scrambling to combat the factual narrative that illegal aliens from Haiti have been caught in an Ohio town eating local ducks in parks and house cats. And we'll get very into this today. And this has gone on for a very long time. And we've reported on this over and over for the past several years. Again, the whole drama about Border Patrol agents using whips on migrants, that was all surrounding tens of thousands of Haitians who'd come across the southern border, who had been ferreted here by a variety of NGOs and governmental programs, taking them from the hellish demon world of Haiti and into America, only for the whole situation to be cleared up instantaneously within 24 hours, the moment it became embarrassing for the Biden administration. Showing again that the lack of action from the federal government isn't born from some incapability, but rather a distinct and well-established disdain for the American people that those in power actually have. So we've talked about it ever since. I mean, we've talked about the migrants from Haiti. You've got the migrant, you know, gangs from Venezuela. The reaction to this is the same from the left, which is to tell you it's not happening, even though it 100% absolutely is happening. But they can just gaslight you and lie to you and pick, you know, certain rhetorical devices and ways of phrasing things that disguises the reality of what's actually happening. In other words, there's statements of things saying the police have not received any reports of, you know, pets being stolen and eaten by Haitians. And it's like, okay, but did you notice a distinct uptick in missing pet posters around? I mean, if your cat goes missing, do you call the cops? I wouldn't. I'd put up posters. I'd call around. I'd put up posts on Facebook. But who calls the cops over a missing animal? That doesn't happen. Now, if you were to actually see, you know, a Haitian family barbecuing your cat, yeah, you might call the cops then. But if your cat goes missing and your Haitian migrants have a barbecue, you know, that weekend, you're not going to call the cops on them because you're not sure if what they're eating is cat or not. By the way, Haitians eat cats. That's just the thing they do. Okay? It's not out of necessity. It's not out of you know, because they're starving and they need to, you know, desperately find something to eat, and so they just reach for, you know, whatever living thing is nearest to them. No, it's like a tradition of theirs, I guess, for some reason. That's what I read. That's what I read from articles written long, long ago. Here's one from HaitianReport.com. Do Haitians eat cats? The shocking truth. Do Haitians eat cats is one of the top 10 most frequently asked questions of Haitians in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and even professional settings. Unfortunately, many Haitians feel uncomfortable answering the question. I, on the other hand, don't have that problem. That's why I'm going to spill the beans and let you in on this little secret. Don't you love how all of this is phrased? Unfortunately, many Haitians feel uncomfortable answering this question. Yeah, I would too, because the answer is obviously yes. Like, here's how else this could happen. If somebody asked me, do Americans eat cats? I wouldn't be uncomfortable answering the question. I'd say, why no? No, we don't. Thanks for asking. No, that's not something we do. We like pets as we like cats as pets and friends and members of our family. We don't eat them. Eating cat meat is not a daily activity or a nationwide practice in Haiti. However, some Haitians do eat cats on December 24th in a national festivity called Réveillon, which is a big Christmas party. Oh. Oh, I wonder, I'd love to hear those carols, wouldn't you? Yeah, it was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, the screaming of cats and the fleeing of mouse. It's crazy that we're bringing these people into our country. It is absolutely insane that we're bringing these people into our country. We're going to show you a bunch of videos about this on the other side, including, you know, Kamala Harris talking about how 50,000 isn't enough. We need 100,000. We need 200,000. We need the entire population of Haiti on the streets of Ohio, eating the decorative birds as quickly as possible, which is insane. And the, you know, legal, you know, secret passwords they use to make all of this seem normal and legal and good, which is all very absurd and insane, right? They say they have temporary protective status. Okay, what does that even mean? So if I go let a homeless person into your house, and you show up and are like, what the hell is this guy doing here? And I'm like, don't worry, I said he could stay there. I'm protecting him. Okay. So it's legal then. Great.
I'm asking viewers to just sit back for a moment and really think about the success InfoWars has had. And InfoWars isn't just me. It's not just the crew. It's not just our guest. It's all of you, the viewers and listeners, that give us intel, that spread the word, that support the broadcast. In the 30-year history of me being on air and 27 years of InfoWars, we have changed the world. And because we researched the globalist owned documents, we knew their game plan. I didn't learn all this stuff out of some Palantir crystal ball. I did it by reading the books and publications that these creatures put out, because they communicate with each other and are very honest about their diabolical plan for world government, depopulation, transhumanism, total robot control. And I believe in humanity. I bet on you because I was betting on myself, and I know that it's always darkest right before the dawn. And so now in 2024, so close to this election, it is more critical than ever to not just keep InfoWars on the air, but to not take the reports and the videos and the articles and the interviews and to get those out to everybody you know. I understand that's really stating the obvious, but we have to understand how urgent the moment is and really redouble our efforts. And I'm saying that myself. I'm on the air 7 days a week. I'm doing a lot of interviews. I'm doing more special reports. We're going out in the field. We are busting our ass because the future destiny of humanity is really on the line right now. Now, a critical part of InfoWars continuing on and hopefully even expanding into the future is your support. And we make it so easy. We bring you the very best products that are out there that will empower and enrich your life at very competitive, affordable prices. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Read the 5-star reviews for the great InfoWars MD line and the other great supplements as well. They really are incredible. They're the very best that the supplement industry has to offer, and they really work. That's why people love them. The fastest growing industry in the United States, other than AI, is supplements year after year for 30 years because people are seeing the incredible effects. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are more than 15 products under the InfoWars MD line, and they're all amazing. But some of my favorites are the Nitric Boost that cleans out the blood, the cardiovascular system, and has a lot of great side effects that men will particularly notice. You need to check it out for yourself. You hear the callers talking about it all the time without me even prompting them. It is amazing. Then you've got Joint Relief Max. That is a natural pain reliever. Works really, really well in a healthy way. You have Turmeric 95. 95% curcuminoid. This is where we get the turmeric for Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. They're both excellent. InfoWars MD. We've got the full spectrum CBD gummies. 25 milligrams. Great anti-inflammatory. Isn't a downer. Isn't a depressant, but makes you very relaxed and focused. It's almost like a stimulant in a weird way, but it's different. And then, of course, we've got other great products for women and men, Ageless Vitality, just high-quality collagen. All of this funds our operation. And, of course, these are 25-milligram gummies. They work great. We have 1,000-milligram tincture that is made by one of the top manufacturers in the country who sells it at retail for twice the price we sell it, then they discount it. Even at the discount, we're selling it for about 50% less than the actual manufacturer does. There's not as much profit, but it's a great deal. 1,000 milligram CBD oil, InfoWars MD, that's the tincture. Then we've got all these other amazing products from InfoWars MD as well. They're excellent, and it funds the operation. So go to InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line. While you're at it, get a high-quality water filtration, get storable food, get books, get films, get T-shirts. All of it will enrich your life, inform your mind, and keep us on the air. That's critical right now. I humbly thank you for your support. Now please go to InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Hey, welcome back, folks. Woo-hoo! Contrary to popular belief, Haitians don't eat cats just because they're poor and hungry. They eat cats because it's a tradition. It's from HaitianReport.com in 2019. Why do Haitians eat cats? The practice of eating cats in Haiti is not a new habit, but an old tradition started at the time of slavery. For instance, runaway slaves hunted, killed, and ate wild cats deep in Haiti's forest and treacherous mountains many years before Haiti became a nation, and back when Haiti actually had forests, before the entire island was deforested in a mad rush to create charcoal and lack of second order thinking means that now the entire countryside is absolutely devastated with no hope of ever regrowing. So the practice of eating cats is just as old as Haiti herself. And that makes sense, considered that Haiti was in fact founded in a demonic voodoo ceremony. In case you're not aware of that, in case you're wondering why what's up with the exuberant madness in the way in which Haitians are being brought into this country. It's a reminder that they are sort of the, as a nation, premier example for the globalist. After all, they rose up against their slave masters and slaughtered every white or even mixed person on the island in a campaign of complete genocide, the horrors of which are beyond description, before they then gathered on a mountain top and summoned a demon and pledged loyalty to him in the founding of their country, which has since become the most poorly run country in the Western Hemisphere, in a place of relentless murder and gang crime. So, of course, it's like a blueprint, right? I mean, that's what we should be doing. We have to be following that path forward. Apparently, cat meat tastes like chicken. Okay, just in case you're wondering, most Haitians do not have human-like relationships with their pets. Some see cats just like pork, beef, and chicken, so there's no discrimination. There's no preferential treatment. Meat is meat, whether it's from cats or other large animals. And of course, the irony of all of this is that possibly the most popular excuse for why we need tens of millions of foreigners in our country is because tacos, is because the food is so good. Yeah, as white people, we don't season our cats, so, you know, we have to be taught how to do that. And of course, as the InfoWars article says, panicked Democrats rushed to discredit reports of Haitian illegals eating pets in Springfield as xenophobic and racist. So they're sort of waffling in between telling you it's not happening and respect their tradition. But the reality is that eating cats and pets is just the most extreme and horrifying example of what is just a variety, a myriad of horrific consequences of bringing in 500,000, 5% of the entire population of Haiti into your country without even the slightest insistence of, learning how to be Americans. Which, of course, is just incredibly insulting and vicious to the people in Springfield, Ohio, who have been speaking out about this for months, and in some cases are finding they're having to flee the town they grew up in and have had a home in for 45 years because the city council decided to drop 1 million Haitians in their driveway. Let's go to clip 26 here.
Noel? Thank you.
I live at 426 Northwestern Avenue. Miss Skinner, who I'm not trying to put on the spot, is my neighbor.
Just talk to me, ma'am. Thank you so much.
And I'm done with what I'm seeing. It is so unsafe in my neighborhood anymore. I have the homeless that were trying to camp out, and I have made concessions with them, and I try to help them the best I can to keep them from trying to squat on my property. But it is so unsafe. I have men that cannot speak English in my front yard screaming at me, throwing mattresses in my front yard, throwing trash in my front yard, and I can't. Look at me. I weigh 95 pounds. I couldn't defend myself if I had to. My husband is elderly. And last night, after living in this home for 45 years, he said, Noel, guess what? It's time to pack up and move. He said, we can't do this anymore. He said, it's killing both of us mentally. I don't understand what you expect of us as citizens. I mean, I understand they're here under temporary protected status and you're protecting them. And I understand that our city services are overwhelmed and understaffed, but who's protecting us? If we're protecting them, who's protecting me? I want out of this town. I am sorry. Please give me a reason to stay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, sort of, you know, powerful, heartbreaking stuff. Springfield residents warn pets and wildlife are being eaten by Haitians. But again, that's just sort of the final outrage. I mean, this is a woman forced out of her home after 45 years because migrants were just living on her lawn. And again, we'll get into some of the organizations bringing this about and how exactly this happens and what it represents God bless that lady, you know, not to criticize her, but as a sentiment to all Americans, stop apologizing. Stop apologizing for being invaded. Like, understand, you're not doing anything wrong when you're like, why are there Haitians setting up camp in my driveway and threatening me and eating my cat? Like, you don't have to apologize for that. Can we get over that? Let's go to another clip now. We'll go to 27. Here's another Springfield resident.
I was out and about yesterday, driving around Springfield. I was looking at the giant holes in some of our buildings. I noticed all of the old familiar spots bearing new signs in an unfamiliar language. I watched as groups of strangers walked around the city like lost tourists, and it was like a punch in the gut. A terrible sadness came over me, and I began to cry. I immediately started to think back to when I was little, walking from my grandma's house on South Fountain through downtown and all the way to Snyder Park, going to Wren's to get new school clothes and shoes, the excitement of the mall for lunch at the Blue Fox, or even better, to see Santa, riding down High Street, admiring the beauty of those stately homes and their amazing architecture, dropping pennies in the fountain and making wishes. And now, all those warm memories are becoming fuel to the fire of anger inside of me. I feel like we have been invaded by some sort of pest. I'm angry that my friends and family are packing up and moving away. I'm angry that foreigners are using up the resources that were set up for the Americans that reside here. I'm angry that another country's flag was being flown in our city. I'm angry when I see our businesses and recreational areas littered with garbage left by people that do not know or understand our laws and culture and are making no attempt to learn about them. And let me be clear, this is not about race. This is about people being given the privilege of coming here from another country and having no respect for our people, our land, or our life's work. People living their life here the way they did in Haiti, angry, stealing, polluting, living in filth, and acting like animals. These are not civilized people. Opening containers in our grocery stores, helping themselves to what's inside and throwing the rest onto the shelves and floors. Pulling off of the highway to publicly clean and gut the roadkill lying there in front of anyone that passes by. Stealing animals from farmers and leaving their severed heads at the side of an old school where children play. Relieving themselves in public. Making some barbaric stew out of the birds that live in our park. This is insanity, and it has to stop. What will become of Springfield? Where will we be in 5 years? The thought terrifies me. Will it be some sort of dystopian wasteland with most of our original residents having moved away and those that cannot afford to move being locked inside their homes, living in fear? This thought is keeping me awake at night. I just want the old Springfield back. I know it was far from perfect, but at least it was still ours. Thank you.
Just brutal.
I do believe that we have a trifecta pandemic going on. We have monkeypox, of course, that they say it's coming. We have COVID, like the flirt virus of COVID right now. It's everywhere. People are calling me. People are getting sick. COVID, flu, bird flu, and all these other ones that they are talking about, those are RNA viruses. And because they are RNA viruses, they are sensitive to zinc. So zinc needs quercetin to enter the cell. I can't believe that in 2024, you're still in a position where you can get a serious disease from COVID, end up with COVID lung symptoms, and possibly die. So please, just listen to me. Go on drstellamd.com, do a telemedicine appointment, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. People call me to get them out of the hospital. And once you're in the hospital, we cannot help you. And also, with the hydroxychloroquine too, you can also get the zinc and quercetin. So my advice for people right now, for a family, if you want to like build defense for your family, is to get Covivites, to get the pox defense. And if you have children, get the immunovites for children because it has zinc, it has elderberry. So this is what we're calling right now the trifecta family pack. So you get the immune defense for your family, you get your defense against pox, you get defense against, build your immunity against COVID, against bird flu and dengue and all these other RNA viruses. So my advice, please listen to me. go on our website, drstellamd.com. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. We have physicians licensed in, we have physicians that can prescribe in all 50 states, and we have pharmacies that will ship to all 50 states. So please, before something gets really crazy, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. For monkeypox, bird flu, like I call the trifecta, pox, bird flu, and COVID, if you get pox defense and Covivites, that should help you. We have it on our website. If you also get, for, you know, some people take Covilite. Covilite is like our bestseller. I love it. I take it every day. If you get Covilite and Pox Defense, these two should be able to cover all the viruses. If you're taking Covivites, this is all you need. If you're the person that takes Covilite, you just need Covilite and this. This should be able to cover because it has quercetin, it has zinc, it has vitamin D, it has everything that you need to build your immunity. That is my cry. Don't wait till you get sick. We have a slew of other vitamins and everything on our website. We have medicinal herbs that can help deal with all kinds of stuff. So my job right now to the American people is to make sure that you're prepared, you're medically prepared. I've been saying it for a while that we're going to have a disruptive event, and it's coming. If you notice, these globalists, they want their agenda 2030. It's on track, or in their mind, it's on track. They want by 2025 for all of us to be digitalized. I said it from the beginning in 2020 that COVID was a Trojan horse for the vaccine. And the vaccine is Trojan horse. It's a Trojan horse for transhumanism, population control, genetic modification. I've said that over and over. And I think that right now in 2024, patriots, listen to me. Everybody should be aware of this. Like I said, if you can get quercetin, if you can get hydroxychloroquine, if you can get ivermectin from your doctor or from wherever, I am pretty much good with it. We put this together to help you, but I just want you to get it. Get it in your head that we are at a time when they want to destroy humanity. And because they're going to try to destroy humanity, we have to be prepared. Only those that are paranoid, that are prepared, would survive. So that is my pledge, and that is what we do. Your pledge is to make sure that you prepare you and your family. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount.
This is the American Journal. It's kind of nice seeing everybody, you know, waking up to the reality of what's happening with illegal immigration in this country. It's important to recognize that what's happening in Springfield, Ohio is not unique to Springfield, Ohio. It's happening to small towns across the United States. And as you saw in that last video, this poor woman talking about, she's not that old. I mean, she's maybe, you know, a little bit older than me. She looked like maybe she was in her 40s, maybe 50s. But, you know, sitting some 100-year-old lady coming up and going, in my day, we could walk to the soda fountain. But, yeah, that's literally what she's saying. She's like, yeah, I have so many wonderful memories of back when this little town was nice and sweet and fun and safe, and now it's just overrun by savages, literal savages who just don't care about cleanliness or the rule of law or property. Like, it's just doesn't matter. And why should it? Why should it matter to them? They're protected from the consequences of their actions. They are under the auspice of the federal government, who has given them carte blanche to do whatever they want, and, you know, pay them thousands of dollars a month for nothing, you know, because they're Haitian. Why shouldn't they feel entitled and privileged and able to take advantage of the openness of America as a society? And this is the point, right? Is like, well, I guess we need a lot more police now. I guess we need a lot. I guess we need really stringent laws. I guess we need some sort of social credit score, because how else are we going to stop people from eating our cats and killing the ducks at the park? Well, you could just not bring them in here. It's not just Springfield, Ohio, where this is happening. It's not an accident that these are the types of people that they're bringing in. In fact, Elon Musk has been posting a lot of stuff about this. More, and yeah, it's almost bizarre the fact that, like, when it's done to pets is when the outrage happens, because how many murders have we reported on by illegal immigrants? How many American citizens are dead because of drunk driving by illegal immigrants, or legal immigrants without the appropriate license driving 18-wheelers and crashing headfirst into, you know, head-on collision? Some mom and her child. It was last week, an Indian dude driving a truck. So how many Americans have died? And it's like, I don't know, something about the American character that's like, well, show them killing pets and then people will care. Show them killing ducks and geese, and that causes outrage. When it's a person dying, it's just like, well, that's a tragedy. Oh, well, it happens. So, okay, fine. If killing pets is what it takes to get people aware of the true heinous nature of this entire program, fine. But, you know, really think about it. Think about what this means. Think about the fact that this is an ongoing program that, if the Democrats remain in power, will continue indefinitely until there's no more small towns to move them into. And this is the true sick aspect of this, is that this town in Ohio, Springfield, actually is doing better than other towns that didn't take in migrants. Because essentially what's happening right now in small towns across the United States, in every Midwest state, here in Texas especially, it's basically like the people that built and have lived in these towns for decades are being driven to bankruptcy. The main drags, town squares just are ghost towns. They're totally vacant. They're depressing. They're empty. They're boarded up. It's very sad and desperate what's happening. And the federal government will do absolutely nothing to help. The state government will do absolutely nothing to help. There is no value seen in preserving the culture and significance and continuing existence of these small towns unless you flood it with 20,000 migrants. And then suddenly there's billions of dollars available. And so small towns are basically damned if they do, damned if they don't. It's either like die out, just disappear, disintegrate, and be destroyed by the, you know, forces of multinational capital, or accept total replacement from a variety of savages, in which case your town will be artificially propped up and maintained by taxpayer money stolen from people in other states. So it's evil. This is just evil. It's a deliberate, at this point, well-publicized attack on the American people, on our way of life, on our small towns. We are being targeted for destruction one way or another. Okay? And it's a choice they're making. It's not inevitable. It's a choice. And they're making it deliberately, on purpose, and with your ultimate destruction as their ultimate goal. We'll go to a few more videos of Springfield residents just dealing with this attack, this full-scale attack against the American people. And by the way, as Elon Musk responds to the 153 illegal alien sex offenders arrested just this year in Baltimore alone. So think about how small that number is. 153. I mean, it's a big number for one year, right? We're only a little over, well, we're like, you know, almost two-thirds of the way through the year. But that's average, like one a day, more or less, right? What day of the year is it? Is it the 153rd day? That'd be appropriate. So 153 illegal alien sex offenders arrested just this year in Baltimore alone. And that's just the arrests and the ones that have been made public. So how many examples have gone unpunished? Who's to say? What happens when you bring in other cities? That number, of course, multiplies by that many more times. World of Statistics at stats_feed on X published a list of most criminal countries. Now, I don't know how you calculate this, but I imagine they have some sort of metric by which they judge this by. The most criminal countries in the world, according to World of Statistics, is number one, Venezuela. Number two, Papua New Guinea. Number three, Afghanistan. Number four, Haiti. You know, if you made a list, and you probably have to exclude Mexico because, you know, they're obviously just right next door to us. But if you made a list of countries where immigrants in America came from, it would almost look exactly like the world's most criminal countries. We've gotten a ton of people from Venezuela. We've gotten a ton of people from Haiti. Luckily, Papua New Guinea is far enough away that, you know, the NGOs don't bother bringing them across the Pacific Ocean. And of course, Afghanistan, where tens of thousands of Afghans have been brought into our country, courtesy of the federal government. We're going to go to some more videos of people in Springfield just explaining what's going on in their towns and state. And we'll get into some more, you know, political stuff later. But let's go now to clip number 28.
I think it's like kind of odd that like a guy like me has to come out from doing what I do on a daily basis to have fun, because I see what's going on in these streets. And I see you guys just sitting up there in them comfy chairs and suits, and like, and I'm getting out here every day and I'm broadcasting this, and you guys are just sitting up there in suits or something. Like, I really challenge you guys to get out here and do something. These Haitians are running into trash cans. They're running into buildings. They're running into, they flipping cars in the middle of the street. And I don't know how, like, y'all can be comfortable with this. Like, I don't know, like, who's getting paid from this. I honestly feel like someone's getting paid from it in the background. You got a bunch of people on a bus getting dropped off at a gas station to come down here. I know a single mom that FaceTimed me this morning at the welfare office that really needs something. And it's nothing but immigrants over there. And I don't even want to, like, seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants, because it's the people that's bringing them down here. Because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them. Like, y'all get the Highway State Patrol down here every week, and then y'all get like a task force for the Highway State Patrol, and they look for guns and they look for dope and this and that and the fourth. That same people that y'all got riding up and down Limestone doing U-turns, pulling people over for blinkers and pulling people over for like going left to center and like a couple miles over, like, y'all can take them same people, the Highway State Patrol, and you can take them in every single one of their Silver Chargers and Dodge Durangos, and y'all can take them to Sunset, and y'all can park them right over there, and y'all can teach people how to drive, since the Highway State Patrol know so much about traffic laws and know what to do in traffic. They need to, y'all pay them, they can go over there and teach these Haitians how to drive, because it's getting up. Bro, I'm getting thousands of views on these. And it's going to get bigger, and it's only going to get worse. And y'all sitting up there in these chairs, y'all, all y'all need to get out here and do something. Y'all making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Y'all need to put on a T-shirt and some Crocs. And then y'all need to come out here in these streets, and y'all need to go out here. And I'm out here before the police is. Like, y'all need to do something, bro. Y'all really got to stand on business. Y'all getting paid all this money just to wear a suit and sit in a chair. I think it's crazy, bro.
They're like, absolutely getting paid literally billions of dollars. Story and video at Infowars.com. More on the other side, folks. A lot more.
I talk a lot about the high-quality supplements at Infowarsstore.com and the great things they'll do for your health, your vitality, your stamina, your libido, your focus, your clarity. And I tend to talk about our best-selling products from Infowars, MD. The Nitric Boost, the Turmeric 95, the amazing CBD gummies, and 1,000-milligram tincture. It's about as strong as it gets, highest quality. But these other products are excellent as well, and they're getting rave reviews. Let's talk about some of these other great products from Infowars, MD, at InfowarsStore.com. Superfood Greens, just a super high-quality equivalent to some of the best sellers that are out there. It's got a whole bunch of superfoods in it. You get everything you need in one big dose, with all the key cofactors and things that a basic vitamin mineral type system may not have in it. It is a superfood. We also, of course, have Good Night Sleep, just a good, high-quality, natural, herbal sleep system that gives you deep sleep that's so good for your immune system. But, of course, Nerve Renew helps your nerves be healthy and helps a lot with pain. People really, really love Nerve Review. Then we've got probiotic formula, an excellent probiotic. That's so critical to your health, because just the chlorine in tap water, if you're drinking that or showering in it, you know, kills the natural flora in your gut. Better Mood really gives you a clean, focused mindset, just does amazing things. And then, of course, I'm really excited about ashwagandha with black pepper. This is an adaptogen, ashwagandha. Your brain, your heart, your mental clarity, your mood, your immune system. It just basically does everything. Ashwagandha is simply incredible. And then, of course, prostate support with the saw palmetto and more that's on record being so good for your prostate. These are just some of the products available at InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com, and your purchase funds the operation. So please do what thousands of others have done. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and check out the InfoWars MD line. Thank you for the support. Check out the products.
Oh, my God.